The scan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News, Hurricane Milton. I'm Michelle Franzen. Both coasts of Florida and in between dealing with widespread damage and power outages following Hurricane Milton. It's now churning out in the Atlantic. At least 10 are dead, Homeland Security says, due to tornadoes in St. Lucie County yesterday. Kevin Guthrie with Florida's Emergency Management says rescues continue due to flooding.
They worked before the storm, during the storm, and they're going to continue to work until we make sure that anybody there that needs to be rescued will be rescued.
At a briefing, the president says FEMA is on the ground and initial aid is being distributed. He says after hurricanes Milton and Helene, the Small Business Administration will need more funding to meet the longer-term needs and called on Congress to return.
The SBA is pretty right at the edge right now. And I think the Congress should be coming back and moving on emergency needs immediately, and they're going to have to come back after the election as well.
No word if Congress will return early. This is ABC. There is another severe storm heading to Earth, but this one doesn't involve clouds, wind, or rain.
Earth is under a severe geomagnetic storm watch today and tomorrow. NOAA has issued its warning after an outburst from the sun was detected earlier this week. A solar storm can disrupt power and radio signals. Electrical operators and space companies have been warned they could be impacted, and it could cause northern lights as far south as the Midwest and northern California. This geomagnetic storm is expected to be less severe than one in May. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The Federal Trade Commission announced a settlement in a multi-state suit against Marriott International. The hotel chain will pay $52 million and make security changes after data breaches disclosed passport information, card numbers, and email addresses for more than 300 million customers. Ethel Kennedy has died. The widow of Robert F. Kennedy and mother of RFK Jr. suffered a stroke this past week. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Fall Sale and get 30% off paints and stains from October 11th through the 21st. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first-time nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls' trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or diabetes, you're at higher risk of being hospitalized from RSV, and there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hears a challenge to the governor's creative use of the partial veto. Evers deleted digits to extend a school funding increase by 400 years. His attorney, Colin Roth, argued previous rulings set the table for that.
That is a natural result of this court's case law from over 100 years that has expansively defined the constitutional partial veto power.
Conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley.
I don't buy that because what has happened is the governor is becoming the most powerful person in this state, arguably, to just make the law whatever he declares.
Court, which has a 4-3 liberal majority, is expected to take some time before issuing a ruling. The State Building Commission approves more than $160 million in projects.
Included in the total is $50 million for 50 projects through a new non-state grant program, which was created in the 2023-25 biennial budget. Those grants will fund projects that bolster critical infrastructure and key services in sectors like health and wellness, economic and workforce development, arts and culture, and public services. More than 250 applications were submitted to the Wisconsin Department of Administration. Shel Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Court action yesterday and today for the two Lincoln Hills inmates accused of reckless homicide in the death of correctional officer Corey Prue.
A preliminary hearing was held for Javarius Hurd on Wednesday, where both sides questioned witnesses and viewed footage from the late June confrontation at the youth prison. Hurd is accused of throwing a cup of soap at another staffer, then running off. Prue gave chase and tried to restrain him, but was knocked over and hit his head on a hard surface. Ryan Nyblom is accused of providing that soap to Hurd. He's due to enter a plea for two counts later today. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A gorgeous day today under mostly sunny skies with unseasonable highs climbing to the upper 70s. Got a south wind at about 5 to 10 miles per hour, shoving us there. And as clouds increase tonight, low temperatures stay mild, hovering near 60. Paying too much for health insurance? Call 1-800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. Currently, it's 68.
And thank you for joining us for AOA, Agriculture of America, here today. Great to have you along for the conversation about issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Today's program brought to you by Cenex. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Learn more. Just go to your nearest Cenex location or visit Cenex.com. Coming up here on today's show, we're going to talk markets in just a moment with Mike Zuzulo from Global Commodity Analytics. In segment two, we're going to take a look at what is hot, what is not in the equipment and auction industry with Andy Campbell with Tractor Zoom. He'll join us in segment two. After the bottom of the hour, segment three, we'll talk with Shauna Nelson, the EVP of membership at Organic Valley. Learn about some of the different things that they are doing there. And then we'll close out the show with this week's sustainable soy update with the United Soybean Board in segment four. So all that and more coming up here today on AOA. Joining us now, let's take a look at the market picture here as we near the end of the week. Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics joins us here today. Mike, good to talk with you again, sir. How are you?
Great to be with you, Jesse. Doing fine. Ready for the WASDE on Friday.
Yeah, that WASDE report. Going to be interesting to see if there are any wholesale changes that come out of that report and maybe any unexpected surprises on the domestic and global balance sheets for corn, soybeans, and wheat. Mike, what are your thoughts heading into that report? Are you expecting much change?
Well, I hope we get a change to help support and continue to support what we're starting to see finally, Jesse, is this world wheat supply situation is getting some traction. We're starting to see that the trade is finally taking note of tight world grain stocks, wheat especially, and end users are as well. And we saw that again on the weekly export sales here just a little bit ago, with the wheat export sales up about 30% from their four-week average. And so we kind of find ourselves with this pre-report expectation of maybe the USDA monkeying around a little bit, changing a little bit maybe the yield numbers in corn and wheat, corn and soybeans domestically, And that could go down in terms of the soybeans based upon anecdotal talk that I've had with a lot of producers in the central and eastern bean belt. But the big thing for me continues to be we want a long-term low in this market, and we really want it to be led by the wheat, and that's where the real weather market is. And I think the trade's starting to wake up to that. And it's interesting today what we see in this pre-report mindset starting to develop is we're near the monthly highs in hard red wheat and soft red wheat. We're actually making new monthly lows in meal, close to the monthly lows in soybeans and corn. So I think that's kind of how the market has spread off and kind of had a divergence with this wheat supporting the market overall. I just want to see that continue as we close out Friday's trade.
I was a little curious, soybeans in particular, we broke through the 20-day moving average earlier in the week on the November contract, and I was worried that could open this market up to some more downside pressure, but it seems to me that both the row crops are at least trying to find a sideways type of pattern here into this WASDE report, Mike.
Yeah, and I think we can give most of that credit to we have the Russian weather as well as the Argentine and U.S. weather. We note that the hard red wheat today, Jesse's leading us to in the upside. Russia's renewed attacks on the Odessa region of Ukraine and grain assets there. We also have the Russian Ag Ministry now calling grain exporters to a Friday meeting. These things, I think, are all working into the row crops and supporting. The problem with this market right now, and you mentioned it earlier this week, we saw the beans really take a hit, and it really was led by the meal, and we continue to see that, a new monthly low in the soy meal and lead month futures today as we opened up the trade. And I'm wondering if that southeast livestock feed demand loss potential is working its way into price action from essentially Virginia all the way down to Florida. That's been with us now for almost 2 weeks, and meal has really reacted to that. And I'm wondering if that's where we connect the dots, if the market's pricing in weaker livestock, poultry feeding as a result of these natural disasters.
That's a good point, an interesting thing to think about. Of course, with Helene moving through and now the devastation from Hurricane Milton, our thoughts and prayers with everyone that's been in the path of that massive hurricane in Florida. Crude oil is another interesting aspect here I wanted to ask you about. We're up about another 1% on Thursday. We've kind of been trending higher, although we've had a little bit of a few corrections here this week. But this energy market feels like that's something that's, we've talked about this before, Mike, a little bit of a canary in the coal mine, so to speak.
Yeah, I really think it is because the negative price action is being led by the Chinese lack of stimulus. The market very disappointed on Monday after China came back from their Golden Week holiday, didn't do much. They did go ahead and add stimulus on Thursday morning, Wednesday night, and I think that's helped us. And then on the upside potential, we have the Middle East, and historically, that war potentially widening, I give it pretty high odds just based upon what we saw in the 60s and what we saw in the 70s as well. So I think that's where the crude oil is probably the ultimate driver in terms of commodity index fund buying. And I think that's, as you say, rightfully so, it's our canary in the coal mine when it comes to those long-term lows. And a lot of people talking about commodity super cycles right now, it's hard to envision that if we don't have China on board.
Mike Zuzalo, Global Commodity Analytics, is with us here today. Mike, a couple minutes here. From a risk management standpoint, should our mindset be changing at all with some of our risk management flow here and ideas in the grains, in livestock? We haven't touched on livestock a lot yet. I mean, any big wholesale changes in your mindset here as we're working through October and harvest?
Yeah, I mean, hitting the livestock, just making another new all-time record high in the S&P 500 equity market index this week, Jesse, I feel like the hogs have been a very nice tailwind, giving us a lot of spillover strength. The equity markets have been, and honestly, the cash business has been very, very good. But USDA put out export numbers this week on beef and pork. Beef imports up 21% January through August. Exports down 4%. I think what I'm looking at in 2025 is not having the reliability of the equity markets and maybe even the hog market like we've been used to in 2024. So I think that's something to be looking at. As far as the grains, kind of going back to the wheat, bringing that floor up because of the tight world stocks, corn joining that, but beans being maybe a little bit more neutral because we just don't know what China's demand is going to be next year.
And real quick, too, another thought I had circling back to beans. Heard a lot of talk of farmers selling off the combine in terms of beans, which is fairly normal, I would say, Mike. But are you hearing some of that same right now?
Yes, I am. And they're very eager to re-own because their yields have been disappointing in Illinois and Indiana for the most part. And I think that's something to be looking at maybe after this report. And if we do actually see this pattern shift in some key areas of Brazil in terms of rain coming in.
Good note there. Something to keep an eye on. Mike, if folks want to reach out to you there at Global Commodity Analytics and have a conversation, look at your analysis and more, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Best way is the website, globalcomresearch.com, and it's globalcom with two M's, research.com. You can sign up for a two-week free trial.
Always appreciate the insight. Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics. Mike, thanks for being with us on AOA today, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, Jesse.
And AOA today brought to you by Cenex Bargain Tractor Hydraulic Fluids. They're not worth the gamble. Trust Cenex quality fluids for performance you can rely on, or visit your nearest Cenex location or Cenex.com for more. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about what's going on in the ag equipment auction market and more. Andy Campbell with Tractor Zoom joins us next on AOA.
As a veteran, I live with health impacts from my service. VA healthcare means you're in 100% control of your own medical care, your own benefits, and it only takes minutes to set up. A veteran should enroll in VA healthcare because it ensures that they get quality, high-level care for the rest of their lives. My service was then, my benefits are now.
Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
On the October episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discussed supply chain challenges affecting U.S. agriculture in the middle of harvest season. Everything from rail issues with Mexico to low water levels in the Mississippi River and the port strike on the East Coast and Gulf Coast ports. NCGA lead economist Krista Swanson joined us to discuss.
If this is left unresolved, it could lead to price increases for consumers and reduced availability of some goods. I saw that J.P. Morgan estimated the strike would cost the U.S. economy between $3.8 and $4.5 billion per day. American Farm Bureau actually put out a really great analysis digging into this, and I just want to pull some of their numbers. They estimated that there's $1.4 billion in containerized ag goods that pass through these ports that we're talking about each week. They estimated that that would be $318 million weekly in containerized ag exports that could be impacted.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA and learn more at ncga.com.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA continues here today, brought to you by Cenex. Your trusted local experts can help you find the right lubricant product that'll protect your fleet on the road. keep your equipment running smoothly. Visit your nearest Cenex store, Cenex.com, for more information. All right, now let's get caught up on what is happening in the ag equipment auction, dealer market, and more. Joining us now for a conversation, our good friend at Tractor Zoom, Andy Campbell, is with us here today. Andy, good to talk with you, buddy. How are you?
Hey, Jesse, good to talk with you as well. And I'm doing well, especially since the last 5 days I spent in the back end of a combine. Not where you want to be this time of year, but I'm happy to say that the combine is now rolling. So we didn't absolutely destroy it.
Well, that's a good thing. I mean, that's part of harvest season, isn't it? Something always, all it takes is one piece of equipment, internally somewhere to go wrong, and next thing you know, you're spending an entire day in the back end of a combine, right, Andy?
Absolutely, and this was one thing that flew into another, so there's many new shiny parts on this combine.
Well,
but we should be set now.
Yeah, well, hey, at least you got it back up and running, keep rolling with the harvest there in your neck of the woods in Iowa. Well, hey, you know, thinking about combines, I think that's a good place for us to start. What are you seeing right now in terms of combines on the dealer lots, the auction market, et cetera, et cetera? What's the big thing you're watching right now, Andy?
Yeah, and I've been watching combines this whole past year because they've been the talk of the town in the dealer world, especially those Class 8s. This time last year, they're starting to stack up, and then the dealers just had to get rid of them with these high interest rates, and they did. But the interesting thing with the combines is that didn't all happen at once. Really, those S780s stacked up first, and then the dealers had to deal with those, and they kind of unloaded those. So those S780s, we've seen those drop about 16% in value year over year, but really most of that drop came in the spring and early summertime, and it's been steady on the price side since then. And really only a couple percentage points here in August and September. But on the flip side of that, you've got like the very comparable Case IH 8250, where early on in the year, it was holding its value when the S780 was dropping. But those supply numbers started to stack up. Those dealers had to react. They kind of had to push those onto the auction market. And so while they've dropped about 20% year over year, and most of that has come probably in just the last 2 or 3 months.
Here's a random thought that I had in terms of thinking about combines here. You know, a lot of times we want to go buy a new pickup, and you get towards the end of a year and the price on the brand new, you know, the 2024 model year typically starts to drop to try and move those models as there'll be 2025 models coming onto the lot. And thinking about, okay, what new equipment might be rolling out from manufacturers here as we head into 2025. Is that something we see in terms of combines, tractors, et cetera? What do you think about that?
You do see incentives to move those, but not in the exact same sense, because a lot of vehicles are made to stock, and so those are on the lots and you buy what's available, whereas a lot of the high price machinery is made to order, and so that's specifically ordered, so you don't see that as much. What you do see, though, is the used lots, and so the used pieces on dealers' lots, they'll have incentives to really move those, especially as they get to their end of their fiscal year, to move them to make sure that their books are in the right kind of order. And so you will see that for Deere. It's actually coming up now this month. For the other manufacturers, it'll be a little bit later, so you do see that seasonality there. But you also see a ton of seasonality in the November-December time period, opposite way, though, because obviously you know your profit then, and you're more likely to buy. And so we actually see, at least in the auction numbers, which are a good representation of the market, that I see those values creep up, kind of the opposite of what you're talking about, in those last 2 months of the year, because people need to buy to kind of right-size their taxes.
Interesting. Thank you for that perspective. I was just thinking about that there for a minute, and I thought that would be a good spot to throw that thought in. Well, I want to segue over to four-wheel drive tractors here and then kind of tie both that and combines together a little bit here. I was looking through some of your notes you sent over to me for today's show. What are you watching in the four-wheel drive tractor market? It sounds like it's a little bit opposite of what's going on in combines right now.
Yeah, I don't know about absolute opposite, but it is. I mean, it depends on the perspective if you're buying or if you're selling, but it is on a roller coaster ride down right now with these four-wheel drives. They, you know, this time last year, we weren't talking about that four-wheel drive market, you know, whether it's tracks or just typical or your usual articulating four-wheel drives. They were in a good position this time last year, but that supply really has land dealers lots. It continues to rise, and couple that with the fact that these are so much more expensive now than they were a few years ago. Interest rates are still pretty high for anybody to carry this, and so there's a lot of incentive now to not be holding on to these things. So dealers trying to really move them, they're being incentivized to sell them, potentially liquidate them if they have to, and that's all kind of accumulating into this auction market. And we're seeing, you know, year over year about 30% drop in these larger four-wheel drive tractors. And honestly, I was even watching one particular model that dropped month over month, every month this summer, remarkably. And I usually don't see it happen month over month for that long for any piece of equipment.
We're talking with Andy Campbell, Director of Insights at Tractor Zoom here today on AOA. So combining thoughts here with combines and four-wheel drive tractors, and just thinking about, you know, basic supply and demand economics, et cetera, here. I mean, walk us through some of those broader impacts, say, on the auction market of what we're seeing move from dealer lots, et cetera, right now, Andy.
Yeah. One thing that I've really noticed within our Tractor Zoom data is that, you know, auction is kind of well known in the industry to be a leading indicator. Where is this thing going to go? Because it's, you know, people voting with their pocketbooks of what something is worth. Well, what I'm actually seeing is even a more leading indicator is the supply that stacks up on the dealer lots, kind of like I mentioned with the combines. But when that stuff with high interest rates and with a high cost gets so expensive, they are forced to move it onto the auction block, which is fine. It moves to the auction block, but the challenge is that everybody's acting independently here. It all hits the auction market at relatively the same amount of time. And what you do is you remove your premium buyers right away. And then the people that really want that piece of machinery are no longer interested because they've got one. And now you're really dropping down to those secondary and tertiary buyers who are maybe a little less interested. And that really is where we start to see the drop in those values happen. It's just because it collectively just, you know, purges itself onto the market, and it's just too much at one time. It's not spread out, and so that's really what's moving these markets model by model right now.
As you examine the trends, do you feel like going into the end of the year we could see any sort of major shifts, or does it feel like some of these trends are going to hold here for the next couple of months, Andy?
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I had conversations with a couple farmers just this past week about that, saying, hey, it continues to come down. Why not just continue to wait and eventually get a much better price? And again, because this is model by model specific, there's a lot of these models and a lot of these overall categories that are starting to right size themselves. And so they're not growing in supply anymore. The dealers are getting into a healthier position, at least a lot of them that we're working with. And so I don't think we're going to continue to just see this market drop month after month, year after year. We're going to hit a, call it, new normal pretty soon with a lot of these categories. And so, you know, at the end of this year, could be a great buying opportunity, especially if you're one of those few regions and farmers out there that are going to show a profit. You know, you might not be buying a whole fleet of new equipment, might not even be buying 2 to 3 pieces. But if one fits your operation, then I think you're going to find some good deals, but I wouldn't expect those deals to get much better into 25. I think it'll, you know, we're going to find that bottom of the trough here pretty soon.
Andy, we got about a minute here. I know you've also been doing some work studying trends in self-propelled sprayers and planters. Any big notes you'd share with us there?
Yeah, planters have got to be one of the more interesting things, because every single category I'm watching is it's down. And I pull up my planter data and it's not down. And what has really uniquely happened within planters is a lot of dealers are being very judicious with what they'll take in on trade-in. And so their inventory position collectively as a whole is actually not that bad. It's a safe inventory position for running a business, and or I should say safer. And so I'm seeing a lot of that stuff that would have been traded in at dealer's lots show up at auction block. And so what that's meaning is the dealers have the planters they want and the used planters they can sell. And then we're just seeing everything else pop to the auction block. And so I think some people, if you really know what you're searching for, can find some good planters out there at auction.
Andy, give us a plug real quick for the website. I know folks can find a lot of information on the Tractor Zoom site.
Yeah, and one of the little-known secrets on TractorZoom.com is that sign-in button in the upper right-hand corner. I use it for all of our equipment. I go sign in, and within a minute, I can create an account and then log my equipment. So I just go in there every month, and I see where phone and say, like, it's worth selling.
Fantastic. TractorZoom.com for more. Andy Campbell, Director of Insights at TractorZoom. Thanks for being with us on AOA today. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, Jesse. Thank you.
All right. Coming up next on AOA, powered by Cenex, we'll talk with Shauna Nelson from Organic Valley here on AOA.
Hey, y'all. I'm Blake Shelton. Being from Oklahoma, I know a thing or two about natural disasters. Tornadoes are common where I'm from and have affected my life and the lives of people I care about. No matter where you live, be aware of the dangers in your area and have a plan. You can create an emergency kit, come up with an evacuation plan, and know where to seek shelter. You never know when a disaster may hit. These simple steps can help save a life. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, November milk up 33 to 21.48, December up 28 to 20.94, January up 21 to 20.48, February milk up 22 to 19.95. Live cattle markets, feeder cattle markets, and hogs also were all higher on the day. Cattle in the north traded at steady money, but very few had traded, so there's still a chance that prices could turn higher tomorrow, and that helped to embolden traders to move live and feeder cattle markets higher. Meanwhile, hog markets moved higher. A very positive export inspections report supported the prices. October live cattle up 97 cents to 189.17. October feeder cattle up a dollar to 250.27. And October hogs up 10 cents to 84.02. Chicago Board of Trade today. Corn and soybeans were mostly lower. A lot of positioning ahead of the WASD report that is due out on Friday. The weather also looks to keep the harvest moving. Now the trade is looking for corn yields at 183.3 bushels an acre and soybean yields at 53 bushels an acre. Wheat markets were mostly higher as the market continues to consolidate at the upper end of the trading range. The dry weather also helping to prevent some of the winter wheat plantings. December corn down 2.5 to 418.5. November beans down 5.5 to 10.14.75. December wheat up 4.75. Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line.
We've got what you want, we've got what you need. Your satisfaction is guaranteed.
Durand Smokehouse has custom cut beef, pork, chicken, and more. Master Butcher Roy has custom recipes for burgers, brats, chicken, and more to make any meal a success. Try Durand Smokehouse's famous beef sticks and natural hot dogs, too. Visit Durand Smokehouse, Highway 85, Durand.
We've got what you want, we've got what you need. Your satisfaction is guaranteed.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, powered by Cenex, premium diesel and premium lubricants. Trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex location. They'll help you mitigate risk on your farming operation with premium diesel and lubricant products. Go to Cenex.com or visit that nearest Cenex store for more. Joining us now, we're having a conversation with the folks at Organic Valley. Shauna Nelson is EVP of Membership at Organic Valley, and she joins us now here on the program. Shauna, thanks so much for the time. Hope you're doing well.
Absolutely, Jesse. It's great to be here.
Let's just start, and a little bit of a refresher. It's been a while since we've had Organic Valley here on the show. Can you give folks a little bit of background and a rundown of Organic Valley for us?
Absolutely. So Organic Valley is an independent cooperative that's owned by more than 1,600 family farmers right here in the United States. And Organic Valley markets products in all 50 states and exports to 25 countries and has farms in 30 states.
Okay, great. Appreciate that background here. Well, I wanted to talk today. An interesting article came my way, a Food Dive article looking at Organic Valley's work for family farms and fostering sustainability and really how the conversation kind of goes beyond milk, so to speak. Talk a little bit about this and maybe just set this up for us about some of the work that you guys are doing there at the cooperative to help with family farms and looking at that sustainability message and growth and more. Talk about this a little bit for us.
Absolutely. So when you think about Organic Valley, we were founded 36 years ago with the purpose of creating a marketing cooperative that promotes regional farm diversity and economic stability through organic agriculture. And really, you know, I want to underscore the importance of independence for farmers. And so our cooperative structure allows small family farmers to come to market together. And ultimately, they're able to make sure that their voices are heard in agriculture. And so our focus over the 35 years has been to make sure that we're providing opportunities for farmers in that respect. And so this year, one of our focuses has been making sure that we're able to add and support family farmers. And we've had 108 farmers that have started with the cooperative this year, 26 more to get on the truck yet this year, 60 farms that we're excited to join in 2025, and 30 farms in 26 and 27. And when you think about that, there's a couple of things at play. One, we're working with farmers who have the interest in transitioning to organic. And so right now, we're working with 56 different farms that are looking to transition to organic over the next 3 years. And we're working with them both on education and what it means to be an organic farmer, but we're also providing support through our organic transition program that allows them, you know, the means to be able to go through that transition. We're also looking at how do we get lights back on in some of these barns. And so that really, you know, has been about how do we make sure that there's a commitment from the cooperative to those farmers that goes beyond a contract. It's ultimately how do we make sure that those farmers know that we're going to market their product into the future. And that's really the difference when you think about a cooperative structure and the commitment that we have not only now, but ongoing to our farmer owners.
Something I think about here that talking, you know, kind of in context with what you're explaining here, Shauna, some of the concern I think for many folks in rural America is just the reality that a lot of independent family farms, they're getting kind of pushed out of farming and agriculture at a pretty alarming rate, kind of just getting squeezed out here for, you know, bigger corporate farms, things like that, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, talk about some of that reality that agriculture has been facing here recently.
I think you're spot on there because there's this mentality that you need to get bigger, get out in agriculture. And we're really going against the grain when it comes to that notion. by allowing the cooperative structure and the 1,500 farmers that we have, we're ultimately saying, how do we work together? And it's complex and it's difficult, right, to bring small family farms into routing and into our supply chain. But the voice of the farmer and the importance of that in our rural communities is worth the fight. And so our farmers have been doing that for 36 years, and they continue to do it through dynamic governance. Ultimately, our farmer board is made up of farmers. We have executive committees, so we're trying to bring farmer voice to all of the solutions that we do. And I think that's what's really keeping the small farm dynamic alive within our cooperative.
We're talking right now with Shauna Nelson. She is with Organic Valley. She is their EVP of membership. I want to focus a little bit on the sustainability side of the conversation as well, because not only are, I know you guys are working to help support family farms and keeping them viable through the cooperative and more, but sustainability, of course, is a huge conversation in agriculture right now on numerous different fronts. I think, you know, particularly in the dairy side of the industry, how do we reduce our carbon footprint, things like that, et cetera, et cetera. Your perspective, the sustainability conversation, where are we at? What are we working towards here currently? And what are some of the things that the Organic Valley and the cooperative side is working with their farmers on right now?
Absolutely. As a cooperative, we've set some pretty aggressive benchmarks of where we want to be as a cooperative. But we're recognizing that we're starting at a place of advantage, because ultimately the practices that our farmers have been doing for years have allowed us to start with a lower footprint overall. And so we launched what we call Organic Valley Carbon Insetting within the last few years. And so we're working with our farmers directly to say, how do we implement practices on our farms at the beginning of our supply chain that helps benefit us all when we're looking at carbon reduction? So we're about a year and a half into that program, and we're adding practices as we go. We just, within the last month, have added some new practices. We're looking at things like grazing, manure management, feed supplements, those sorts of things, to make sure that our farmers continue to be at the edge of practices, and that overall, as a cooperative, we're reducing our impact.
Well, I think about this, our farmers and ranchers, many of them, you know, they're the original stewards of the land. We talk about that from time to time, but as things are evolving and needs and challenges are evolving, it's important to, I would say, take a step back in some cases and maybe examine some of the practices that you currently do and maybe some things you could add to your operations, so to speak. What are your thoughts there?
Absolutely. We created what we call a carbon task force. And so it brings not only the experts that we have on our team, but it brings our farmers into the conversation and to the table. And so that's how we're developing the different practices and the different educational materials that we're sharing out with our farmers is from our farmers. And I think that's the best place that together as an industry we can learn is bringing everyone to the table, discussing practices, sharing what we're learning and continuing to evolve, because I think all of this is evolving at a very rapid pace.
Well, thinking about all the work you guys are doing at Organic Valley, I know if folks want to go on to your website, organicvalley.coop, you guys have a ton of resources available online that folks can take a look at to kind of get started and think about some of the different things and maybe look to take part in some of the different things you guys are doing as a co-op, right?
Absolutely. Check out that website. And then we also have another website, farmers.coop, that helps if somebody's out there and looking at, you know, transitioning to organic or what it means to farm for the cooperative. We also try to provide resources and expertise in that area as well.
Fantastic. Well, as we close out the segment here, final thoughts you would have for us. What do you want to really reiterate to producers as they're looking at their sustainability goals and the work you guys are doing there at Organic Valley to help family farms across the country, et cetera, et cetera? What would you really reiterate to folks here today on the show, Shauna?
I think it's important that as an industry and as producers that we continue to evolve our conversation. What we have done and what we're going to do is going to be the product of us all working together to achieve these goals. And so small family farms have a bright future when we look at agriculture going forward. Is it going to be easy? No, but it's definitely going to be worth it. So let's keep engaging in the conversation and keep driving for our shared goals.
Well, and we appreciate the conversation today, and we'll no doubt look to have another one down the road in the future. With that, Shauna Nelson, EVP of Membership at Organic Valley, thanks for joining us on Agriculture of America today. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Jesse.
Once again, fun conversation, interesting one there with Shauna Nelson, EVP of Membership at Organic Valley. And, you know, thought about family farms and the uptick in large-scale farming operations here in the U.S. and more. It's an interesting conversation, no doubt, to have. And then, of course, you throw in sustainability on top of it and a lot of different things going on there. And so good work they're doing at Organic Valley. And again, organicvalley.coop for more information. Today's program brought to you by Cenex. With planting season in full swing, you can count on Cenex Store's high-quality lubricants to keep your operation moving. Power through the season, and don't worry, Cenex has what you need. Visit Cenex.com or your nearest location for more. Coming up next, it'll be the latest sustainable soy update with United Soybean Board. That's on the way next here on AOA Agriculture of America.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Hi, everyone. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, listen up, because you could be entitled to significant compensation. We have legal professionals standing by right now to take your call, and they'll tell you if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-570-0200. That's 800-570-0200. Call now and find out how much money you could potentially get.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Not to brag, but Progressive's Name Your Price tool is mankind's greatest tool ever. Even better than the wheel. Sure, without the wheel, we wouldn't have modern transportation or funny videos of dogs riding skateboards. But without the Name Your Price tool, we wouldn't have easy access to auto insurance options based on our budget. And, well, cars do need wheels. They also need insurance, and insurance never goes flat. Learn more about the greatest tool ever, the Name Your Price tool, at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
To buy my first home using the VA home loan guarantee without having to put down a down payment. I was able to graduate from college using the post 9/11 GI Bill debt-free. I was able to enroll in VA healthcare, and I know that VA is going to be there for me when I need it. My services then and my benefits are now.
Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
The United Soybean Board, your soy checkoff, is on a mission to deliver sustainable soy solutions to every life, every day, from food products to renewable fuels, tires, and beyond. For the next several weeks, tune into AOA on Thursday mornings for the Sustainable Soy Update series. We'll visit with farmers and industry experts to discuss soy checkoff investments focused on the sustainable production of U.S. soy and how this builds markets and profit opportunities for farmers. For more information, visit unitedsoybean.org.
By the time you're done listening to this ad, nearly a dump truck's worth of plastic will have made it into the ocean. Plastic has become a useful part of our everyday lives, but it's polluting the air, water, and soil that all life needs to survive. This is a human problem that can be solved with human action, but it's going to take all of us, from individuals to businesses to governments and everyone in between. Help create a cleaner future for both people and nature. Visit wwf.earth/plastics.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA Today continues here, powered by our friends at Cenex. Their premium diesel and premium lubricants. Trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex location or go to cenex.com for more information. Well, it is time now for this week's Sustainable Soy Update with the United Soybean Board as we continue our series here on the program today. We're talking about soy meal firefighting foam. Joining us now, Nancy Cavazanjian. She is a second-year United Soybean Board farmer leader, grows soybeans, corn, and small grains in Wisconsin. Nancy, welcome into AOA and the Sustainable Soy Update. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. It's a busy day on the farm today.
Well, glad to have you on with us here today, Nancy. Let's talk about soy foam. How did this investment between the Soy Checkoff and Cross Plains Solution come about?
Yeah, you know, the United Soybean Board, on behalf of U.S. soybean farmers, invests millions of dollars in research and development of soy products. And actually, the company came to us because of our great reputation for making bio-based soy products.
Well, with this innovation, I know U.S. soybean farmers are helping to address the risks associated with traditional firefighting foams. Why is soy foam an essential solution for protecting first responders?
Yeah, well, when I first heard about soy foam, I got really excited. And one of the things I learned very early on was that the leading cause of death among firefighters is cancer. So anything we can do to help our firefighters and protect us from cancer by getting this forever chemical, the PFAS, out of the firefighting foam is great. It also protects our community because we don't want those PFAS in our environment, those forever chemicals that don't go away, that we know are cancer causing. We can get them out of the environment with this soy foam. It's made from soy flour.
Well, you mentioned PFAS. What are some of the risks that are associated with PFAS, and how does this product help improve environmental health? You hit on some of that a little bit, but maybe talk about this a little bit more for us, just some of those risks out there that we're trying to get rid of.
Absolutely. PFAS are a forever chemical. We didn't know, you know, the chemical people didn't know when they started with PFAS. They thought it was a miracle chemical. It's in so many things. But if we can get it out of the firefighting foam where it persists in the soil, where you know, firefighters go, when you have a chemical fire or an oil spill, you need foam, and it stops the fire from spreading. We need to keep those chemicals out of our environment and away from our firefighters. So by having a alternative like this soy foam that has no forever chemicals in it, it has no fluorines, it's totally biodegradable, it's going to protect our environment, it's going to protect our firefighters.
We are talking with Nancy Cavazzangin with United Soybean Board here today, looking at soy meal firefighting foam. Nancy, I've been hearing about this soy foam now for a few months and been seeing some various stories from fire departments across the country. What does demand look like right now? How can fire departments across the U.S. start using this PFAS-free foam to protect their firefighters?
Yeah, this PFAS-free soy foam is now commercially available. It is starting to get used across the country. We, at the United Soybean Board, is also delivering trial pails of soy foam to local firefighters. I gave one to my local firefighters. I've got another friend that is a farmer and a firefighter that I have a pail for, and soybean farmers across the country have these pails of trial products that are available, but it also is commercially available. So I would say either ask your friendly soybean farmer or you can find it commercially available from Cross Plains Solutions.
Now, you mentioned earlier that soy foam is made from soy flour rather than soybean oil. So how does that help support the soybean industry, particularly with the increasing focus on, say, renewable diesel? Talk about that.
Yeah, one of our main objectives with the checkoff program is to find more ways to use meal, because when we process soy, we have oil and we have meal. We know we have a great demand for oil, which means we're going to have some extra meal. And the meal is what makes the flour. So the more we can use the meal in the flour, the more we can use up that supply, and that helps prices for soybean farmers.
And to your point there about the checkoff, finding new ways to create demand for soybean growers, that's really at the heart of innovative products like soy foam, right, Nancy?
Absolutely. You know, the soy checkoff is farmer money, and we do as much as we can to increase demand and to also increase supply. So we work on both sides.
Well, as we are getting ready to close out this week's Sustainable Soy Update, Nancy, anything else you would like to share in terms of talking about soy foam?
Oh, soy foam, it makes me so proud as a soybean farmer to have this solution that protects our local firefighters and our environment. So this product really has me excited.
Well, I know folks, if they want to learn more, you mentioned Cross Plains Solutions. They can go to crossplainssolutions.com for more information on soy foam. They can also get more information at unitedsoybean.org, the website for the United Soybean Board. And with that, Nancy Cavazzangin from Wisconsin with the United Soybean Board, thank you for joining us here for this week's Sustainable Soy Update on Agriculture of America. Good to talk with you, Nancy, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
Nancy Cavazzangin with the United Soybean Board joining us here today. Check off and finding new uses and creating new demand, as we were talking about there with Nancy. So again, soy foam. Really interesting product, a great benefit for fire departments across the U.S. CrossPlainsSolutions.com or UnitedSoybean.org for more. We're out of time here on AOA today, powered by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex location, as they will give you the products that you need to make sure your equipment stays on the go and running smoothly, especially during a busy harvest season. On the next program, we'll talk with Kent Backus from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We'll get an agronomy update with Jed Norman from LG Seeds. All that and more coming up on the next AOA. For now, I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
I was running until I wasn't. My hospital stay would have cost nearly $48,000, even with insurance. But with VA, I'll pay zero. And VA is the best, most affordable healthcare in America for veterans like me. Knowing that my family is waiting at home and a surprise medical bill isn't, that's good for my heart. My service.
Deeply indebted to them, and I'm sure they'll be friends and acquaintances for life.
Farm Rescue exists to shine a light on farm families during some of their darkest days. When an unexpected injury, illness, or natural disaster strikes, our volunteers and equipment are here to help free of charge. Farm Rescue is currently accepting applications for haying and harvest assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org today.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to health care, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied, too. The members